Hi, it's Dave. In this video, I'm going to be addressing three major concerns that Tesla shareholders have this week. As with all of my videos, they are a stream of consciousness, and my opinions will change day by day, week by week, as I get more information. Also, with stock investing, it's up to each person to make up their own mind, to gather their own information, and to evaluate kind of the risks and rewards that they see themselves. All right, that said, let's go ahead and first take a look at what Tesla stock is doing today. So Tesla stock is up about 20 points at the time of this recording, right before market close, at about $738. The NASDAQ is up almost 1% as well, so it's been an up day. But in the beginning of the day, Tesla got hit pretty hard. It opened pretty low, 705, and it dropped to under about $700 in the opening minutes. And ever since then, we've been seeing a recovery. So what I want to do in this video is I want to address some of the major concerns that a lot of Tesla shareholders have just right now, like this week in the moment, to kind of give a real-time discussion of what's going on. I received a Twitter direct message last night, and I wanted to share it with you guys and address some of the concerns. So he says, Dave, I'm a long time watcher and listener of your YouTube episodes. Would you be able to comment on two concerns I have as a long Tesla investor? Number one, what are your thoughts about Al Prescott leaving Tesla for Luminar? Isn't this a slap in the face for Elon's vision only FSD versus LiDAR? All right. So for those who don't know, Tesla's vice president of legal operations. So let's go ahead, actually take a look at a CNBC article that was published this morning. It says Tesla vice president of legal Al Prescott leaves to join Luminar, a LiDAR company. And here's how CNBC slants this article. It says Tesla's long-standing vice president of legal and acting general counsel, Al Prescott, has left the electric vehicle and renewable energy company to join Luminar, a LiDAR startup. Tesla CEO Elon Musk has long insisted that LiDAR technology or light ranging and detection sensors is too expensive and not necessary for development of autonomous vehicles. Prescott's move to Luminar, where he will serve as chief legal officer, is an endorsement of the technology, however. Okay, so let's kind of deconstruct this a bit. And let's go back to the question is, A, isn't this a slap in the face for Elon's kind of vision-only FSD approach? So first off, we have to understand that there are over 50,000 employees at Tesla, and you have a ton of the management that is going in and out of the company. Now, if you're in charge of Tesla Legal, and there have been many people in charge of Tesla Legal over the past several years who've been going in and out, and it could be a very stressful job. Not only that, Tesla is one of the most high-profile companies out there. They're a huge mega-cap company in the spotlight, one of the top stocks. And if you're head of legal, vice president of legal, you're going to be highly recruited. And these guys are getting job offers. They're getting recruitment offers. They're getting LinkedIn messages, all the time saying, hey, why don't you come join our company, our startup? We'll give you equity. And that's what it comes down to, I think. In the bigger picture, in the bigger thing, bigger point of things, a lot of these management will go to the places that are offering them the most. Right? And they'll offer them great salary. They'll offer them a great option package, right, with equity. And they think that the upside in this other company will be higher. I think that's pretty much the gist of the story. Tesla has a ton of capable management. And in such a large company, you're going to see high turnover of different people in terms of different roles. So when I look at this, you see, yeah, one person has left the company. It's not a total critical role. There are many people that can fill this role. And this is just life. Life in the Valley, life in corporate America, life at one of the hottest companies, mega stock companies in the world. There is a revolving door. People are in and out. Now, what's interesting about this is CNBC is angling the story as kind of like a critique of Tesla's full self-driving, when in actuality, there's no critique of it. It's purely one person's decision, right, to take probably a better equity, package with a different company and move up in his career. And that's all it is. And a lot of times, I think media or certain media outlets and journalists can slant certain things as sensational, right? Oh, this person has left Tesla. This person has left Tesla. Think about it. If you have tens of thousands of employees, you're going to have dozens of positions in relatively high management areas that are going in and out of Tesla every year, Right. And so if we wanted to focus on this every week or every month, we could have a new story of a new person, right, who was a vice president or manager or director of this department. And we can slant that story, make it super sensational, like Tesla is having big problems, the technology is faulty, you know, et cetera. And that's all in a way sensationalism. I think what we have right here is just a simple story of a person leaving. It doesn't concern me at all. All right, let's go ahead and look into this second question from this Twitter follower. He says, what are your thoughts on the heavy dependence Tesla has in China? China is very unstable and the government could shut down Tesla in a heartbeat if it wanted to. U.S.-China relations are worsening and this could impact Tesla negatively. Maybe this is why Tesla is looking into India. They may not want to sell cars there, but they may want to produce cars there. Okay, so what's the gist of this concern? So a bigger backdrop, yes, U.S.-China relations are tense and we don't know what it's going to be looking like in 5 or 10 years. It's a major global concern. However, there's actually, you know, stuff happening this week that actually triggered a lot of these fears from different investors looking into Tesla. So here we have on CNBC, it says protesters upstage Tesla at China's top auto show. So there's a Shanghai auto show and you have basically some protesters that had come and one person actually jumped on a Tesla car, protested with a t-shirt saying her brakes were faulty. And she had to be taken out, put in prison, I guess, for 5 days for this incident. And Grace Tao Lin, who's Tesla's vice president of external affairs in China, commented on the story and she said, she thinks that the protester might have been hired to carry out the stunt. Her actions have been very professional. There may be people behind her. And then she says this customer does not accept vehicle inspections and insists on high compensation, Tao added, right? Tesla's VP in China. I think there's no way for us to compromise. So the gist of this is you've got, you know, perhaps an angry customer, but who knows what the motives are. They're making a big show. It gets in the headlines. It gets in the media. And for Tesla, they're thinking, hey, we can't even inspect this person's vehicle. She's not even letting us, you know, get to the vehicle. How can we arrange something? And she's demanding these outrageous, you know, fees. And to Tesla, it could feel like they're being blackmailed, right? And this is what's going on just as a microcosm of an event that happened in China. Now, I think some people, and there are, you know, different concerns and risks of doing business in China. However, overall, I'm optimistic regarding Tesla's prospects in China for a few reasons. First, in China, there's a lot of stuff going on where there's tension between the central government, the federal government, and local governments. And local governments can have their own type of bureaucracies and their own agendas that oftentimes aren't aligned with central government, but overall the central government has more power and they ultimately win. Now, in the case of Tesla, you had a direct invitation from the central government for Tesla to come into the country. They even bended the rules where Tesla didn't have to do a joint venture inside the company like every other auto company to date has had to. So Tesla was able to own their own factory, their own IP. And then you had Shanghai, a local government as well, just go open arms, just push through, right? Light speed construction, all the permits, et cetera. So you have the basics. However, the other side of the story is that other local entities and local governments inside China have sided with different EV companies in different ways. So you have NIO and XPeng and Li Auto, you have BYD and so many companies that are fending for this huge EV market. And a lot of these local city and governments are aligned with certain companies. And so this poses kind of a messy picture. And then you have financial interests, right? You have a lot of people betting on various stocks, right? Going long or short with options, et cetera, funds, a lot of stuff going on. And they're using the media to distort and manipulate, try to influence, you know, various things for their own gain. Overall, the way I look at it is that China's main government, their central government, is in strong support of Tesla, and it's always been, and it's continued to show their support of Tesla, you know, going forward. And I think it makes sense in a lot of ways because China has aspirations to become, you know, this dominant world economy, and it's very controversial in a lot of ways, right? They have not so great, to say the least, record on human rights, and yeah. Their whole form of government, in a way, can be seen as a threat to democracy. So I'm not going to condone China's overall policies anyway. However, economically, if you just look at an economic sphere for what China is doing, they're approaching it long-term and with intent. And they're wanting to put into place certain things in their economy to really grow into this world power. They've been very successful in doing that. The thing that they don't want to do is they don't want to mess that up. And they know that there's a few things that are needed. First, they need to attract foreign investment. But another thing is they need foreign markets to market and to sell their own products, right? Their own domestic products into. And because of that, if you invite Tesla, kind of this, very outspoken kind of public company into your company, and you just kind of completely turn over the whole game, right? And the rules, and you do them wrong. Let's say you do Tesla wrong and Tesla either has to leave the country, et cetera. This hurts China in so many ways. It hurts every other country coming into China will doubt, right, any foreign investment. But second of all, a lot of other countries will start to will carry animosity and start to close their borders perhaps to Tesla or to China's anti-competitive practices. So China is very aware of this stuff. And this is why, in my opinion, it's in China's best interest to support support Tesla going forward. And I haven't really seen much evidence of the federal government, the main central government, having any doubt. If you look at any of the state media reports that have come out regarding Tesla, they've all been positive. I did an episode about a month ago with Kevin Yang, who follows Tesla's activities in China and all the drama there. And he really lays down a great framework of how to evaluate. I'll go ahead and link it in the video description below. All right. So I want to go ahead and talk about one more concern here that people are having regarding Tesla this week. And that is this concern of crashes and autopilot and how safe it is. Let's take a look at this tweet from Tesla New York. And it has a video clip of Sandy Monroe here. And I want to go ahead and share this video clip.
We're moving.
I think Sandy Monroe gives some interesting
points here. Anytime you can have 8 times better for anything, that's the right way to go. Now, is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. And that's why it's not self-driving vehicles. But it's a lot better than the average that we've got right now, which is, like I say, every 500,000 miles, somebody's going to get into a crash.
It sounds to me like you would not be a fan of putting this self-driving technology on pause until it's perfected.
I would be furious if we don't start doing something for the reduction of car accidents. And we're staring at something that's already 8 times better, and it's only been in the marketplace for a few years. I mean, that's criminal. Whoever decides to throw that out, they definitely don't have the general public at heart. That's a fact.
All right. So there you have a clip by TMZ and interviewing Sandy Monroe. And Elon Musk says, Sandy Monroe knows what he's talking about. And then you have Emmett Pepper says, yes, this would be tragic if media sensationalism causes panic for regulators to delay development or adoption. That would equal hundreds or thousands of more unnecessary auto deaths versus if not delayed. So here's what's going on here, is that there's been a lot of media sensationalism regarding, some recent Tesla accidents, mostly due to, human error, human foolishness. And it poses a question, right? And the question is, in my opinion, it's not so much how safe the technology is, because this technology, in the early stages, it needs human supervision. There is, a lot of room for error, and this is common knowledge. But as it gets better, that need for supervision will decrease over time. The bigger issue, though, is how the media or some media outlets and journalists take some stories and sensationalize them to the point where it could influence and impact the actions of regulators to deter and be an obstacle to this type of technology. So the question is, how big of a risk is that going forward? In my opinion, I think it is a decent sized risk, because these regulators are just humans, and they're influenced by dozens of emails or hundreds of emails and protest letters and calls from influential people, or you have some lobbyist contacting politicians, and you have a congressman or senator contacting, right, the regulator, pressuring them to do certain actions or certain things. And I think what you have is it's a much more complex thing than this objective, you know, body that's insulated from any public opinion. No, public opinion matters intensely. And that's where I think, you know, journalists and some media outlets have an immense amount of influence. Now, if you combine that to kind of the underground of financial kind of investing manipulation, meaning you have different funds that will use news for their advantage. They will plant stories. They will have connections with journalists. They will, you know, email a ton of people. They will use PR firms to try to push stories out at certain times for certain advantages. And when you combine that, you know, with these the financial interest and motivation to make money, then what you have is you have a very volatile, you know, situation where it's hard to determine exactly what's going to happen going forward. And I think the hope, though, we have is that this technology is moving so fast, it's actually inevitable. The advent of neural nets, of compute power, of valuable data that Tesla is collecting is improving, you know, Tesla's autopilot full self-driving system so rapidly that we're seeing, you know, this, there's not, something can happen in terms of regulation to delay the technology for a few years, but ultimately the technology is what it is, right? It's going to happen. They're rolling it out. And the big question though is on the timing. Anyways, I think in terms of valuation, how do you evaluate the risk of a delay with full self-driving? In my opinion, I don't think it's actually the biggest delay in the world or the biggest risk to valuation, because since it's not a risk of full self-driving will never happen, right? If that was the risk, then yes, that would be a big hit on valuation and my expectations of what I could value Tesla for in 5 or 10 years. However, if the risk is more of a 1 or 2 year delay, but then full self-driving gets approved and it gets rolled out as the technology is inevitable, that to me doesn't really impact how I value Tesla's, you know, market cap valuation in 5 or 10 years, because they're still going to benefit from full self-driving and all of the margin improvements, all of the revenue improvements, all of the extra products, right, that come out of that. It's still a very bullish case in my opinion. Anyways, I wanted to kind of share this episode with you guys to kind of decode and deconstruct some of the media FUD out there going on, some of the concerns that people are having. Now, I'm not saying none of these concerns don't have any legs or are illegitimate. No, I'm saying, like, you know, we have to parse through this stuff and each of us have to make up our own mind in terms of the risks out there. Anyways, I hope this episode has been helpful. If it has, like it, go ahead and consider subscribing to my channel. We've got some cool stuff coming up. Got some great interviews coming up with an ARK Invest artificial intelligence analyst later this week. I'm also talking about crypto and DeFi later this week and weekend with a former ARK analyst as well. So we've got some cool stuff. Anyways, we'll see you in my next video. Take care. Bye.